You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hi, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, June 15th. Yes, it is a certain someone's birthday coming up soon, which is kind of, exciting. I'll leave it to you to figure out who that person might be. And also Father's Day's coming up. I hope you have your cards in the mail so they get there on time. Or at least remember to call the dear old dude. It's Michelle here, alone on the couch again one more time. It's lonely, but you know, I'm getting by. I'll probably survive. Dancing's now over for the year, as we had a very busy weekend just this past weekend. Many dress rehearsals, many performances, many costume changes and makeup touch-ups and hair do's and etc. It was great, though. It was good fun. Emily did very well. She was happy. She's tired. Very tired. She did not go to school yesterday because she was sleeping, which is unusual for her because it's hard to get her to sleep in the morning. But she managed it for once in her life. She slept until 10 after 9. This is a record for her. Yes, I know. So yeah, and of course now the beautiful weather that we've been having for the last few weeks has ended since we have free time on our hands, and now it's raining. Yes, Murphy's Law, I guess. So I don't know, got big plans for the summer maybe? Not really. Actually not at all. I was hoping there for a minute, but yeah, when I think about it, not really. We may get away to my parents for a weekend if we're lucky, and that's probably about it. Not a whole lot going on around here. Sorry I keep clearing my throat. Suddenly I have issues with it. Last week I mentioned that Inside the Actors Studio was going to be hosting Modern Family. Well, James, whichever his name is, Lipton, was hosting Modern Family, the cast. Just the adults, not the kids. We managed to catch that. And very much enjoyed it. Although I find with that show, it always leaves you wanting more. It's a little too edited, I find, and it's a little too scripted, and he's a little too in charge. I wish there was a forum for actors to just sit down and talk and ramble on forever. Because they're, you know, I don't know, like, you're watching it because you're interested in them and their life and what they've done, and half these stupid TV hosts blab on and on and on, and I don't want to hear them talking. Oprah's the worst for that. I hate her. Hate her show. It's so irritating. She's so full of herself. Maybe some of you love Oprah, but I'm seriously not going to miss her at all. Because she just, you know, she'd ask a question, and then she'd answer it herself, and her guest might get two sentences in. She's got Julia Roberts on. Yeah, I want to see what she's got to say. I don't want to hear you. You blab every week. Let the guest talk for once in their life. And I kind of find the same thing with Inside the Actor Studio. You can tell that it's edited, that there was a lot more said. And I know they only have a certain amount of time, but I don't know. It just, you know, always leaves you wanting more. And maybe that's the point. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, in a case like this, where you have a whole cast on, you have to try and make it fair and fit everybody's story in. One thing that kind of surprised me, the girl that plays Claire, what's her name in real life? I can't think of it. The blonde girl. She was, I don't know, I found her very intense. As, you know, her character on the show is so fun, and, I mean, she's intense, but she's also fun. I just found her in real life. She was like, she was sitting right next to Sophia Vergara, I think her name is. And here's Sophia. She hasn't done a lot of acting, and so, you know, and she was very humble about that, and that she looked to her co-actors for, is this funny? Am I doing this right? Those kind of things. And then the blonde girl's going on and on about her, this training and this sort of style and this, you know, I just thought, and she just seemed to be looking down her nose at her all the time, and maybe at Sophia, I mean. And also seemed really jealous of her, I thought. So, I honestly, it didn't portray her very well, I didn't think. She came across as kind of a snobby, jealous, insecure full of herself sort of person, and I wonder if she's really like that, or if she was having a bad day, or, I don't know, it was weird. It was weird. I think, like I said, I think she's just really jealous. But anyway, who wouldn't be? Sofia Vergara, I think that's her last name, is beautiful. Worthy of being jealous of, yes. And she's got the accent that everybody loves, and they go on and on about her accent, and so maybe she just has too much going for her, and Blondie's jealous. That's all there is to it. So anyway, that's about all I had time to watch this last week, because I was at the theater the whole time. Had no time for anything but costumes and makeup and dancing. But anyway, things were happening all over the world, despite the fact that I couldn't be involved. So here's some couch entertainment news for you. This past Sunday, a certain Dr. Jones celebrated his 30th anniversary. Raiders of the Lost Ark premiered in 1981 and celebrated its 30th anniversary just this past Sunday. And I imagine there were some sort of events going on around that, although I am not informed of them at this particular moment. But that's kind of cool, and it also makes me feel old. Although, in my favor, I don't recall ever seeing that in the theater. I'm pretty sure I didn't. I would have been under 10 at the time, so, you know, that makes me feel a little less old. I remember seeing some of the later ones in the theater. So, there you go. I'm not as old as I thought. Super 8 also opened this past Friday. And Green Lantern opens this coming weekend. We are officially in summer movie season. Warner's is hoping to replace the Harry Potter films with its DC comic character movies. Green Lantern being one of them. Supposedly cost $300 million to make and market, so they have a lot riding on this film's success. Hopefully it does well at the box office. Not so sure I'll be going to see it, but, you know, there's probably others who are excited about another superhero movie. Frankly, I'd rather see 10 more Harry Potter movies if it was up to me. Super 8, going back to that, had an awesome opening weekend. $37 million. In its opening weekend, that's huge, really. I mean, really. Especially considering it only cost about $50 million to make. They've almost made a profit already in one weekend. That's pretty cool. Getting lots of good reviews. Critics are saying this may be the best summer film in decades. It seems like it's gone back to the formula that made summer blockbusters what they were in the beginning, and which has been lost in recent years. So if you're really looking to, you know, make your summer season, that might be the one to see. The little film that could. Yeah. In sadder news, Laura Ziskin, veteran film producer, died over the weekend after a 7-year battle with breast cancer. That is sad news. She produced such films such as Pretty Woman, Courage Under Fire, Fight Club, The Thin Red Line, As Good As It Gets, and the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films. So she had quite the career going back a few years there. Pretty Woman was in the 80s, or 1990, I think. Anyways, I guess she founded a non-profit organization in 2008 that to date has raised more than $200 million in the fight against breast cancer. So that's, you know, a good legacy to leave behind. She was only 61 years old, so she was a little bit on the young side. That's too bad. She probably had a lot more good ideas in her. She will be missed. Now, moving on. I lied. I did lie, briefly. Please forgive me. I said I only had a chance to watch Inside the Actor's Studio. But I did actually manage to see one other thing. So, here is this week's Gradies of the 80s. Alrighty then, The Golden Child. Woohoo! Good old Eddie Murphy movie. released in 1986, and if you've seen it recently, it is definitely a trip down memory lane, if you remember the 80s at all. The cars and the costumes or the clothes, whatever you want to call them, and the you know, the film style on the music. Yes, yes. If you're looking for a trip down memory lane, I mean, what's more 80s than Eddie Murphy, right? So anyway, back to The Golden Child. It stars Eddie Murphy, of course, as I said. He plays Chandler Jarrell, a social worker who is, I guess he's a social worker. They don't really go into that. It says that he's a social worker, but really the focus of the beginning of the movie is that he is an advocate for missing children. So I don't know if that really makes him a social worker. It more makes him somebody who is trying to find missing children. Anyway, kind of odd, because it didn't seem like he was working for the police or anything. He was just this guy going around putting up signs. So that was kind of weird. Anyway, he's confronted by a young woman played by Charlotte Lewis, whose career I looked up and really she has done nothing. Lots, but all like really sad B stuff, which is sad because she was kind of good in this movie. But anyway, she comes up to him and tells him that he is the chosen one and that he's destined to save the golden child. And they're getting advice from some woman who's part snake because her father or her mother was great-great-grandmother was raped by a dragon or some ridiculous thing. So lots of mysticism and supernatural elements to this movie, which you wouldn't necessarily think based on the title. But quite likely everybody else had seen it except for me. I'm not sure how I missed it. I was probably a little young when it was in theaters to see it. A little young. And so I know for a fact that I never saw it in the theater, and I had never seen it until today. Today, in fact, was the day. So it's very fresh in my mind. The beginning has some weird, almost seems like it's sped up footage in it, which makes it seem very jerky and odd, and put some 80s synth behind it. And it's dated, definitely dated. But you know, I guess you can't really expect anything else. The plot of the movie, aside from him being the chosen one destined to save the golden child, basically, this beginning part where the weird jerky stuff takes place is a back and forth sort of filming style between this young boy in a Tibetan monastery, showing off his power, so to speak. And then breaking to shots of the bad guys tromping through the snow carrying a cage. And in weird, jerky fast-forward with bad 80s synth music. And then back to the serene temple and the boy sitting and picking his jewelry and his hat and his bringing birds to life. And yeah, if it's sounding odd at all, it's because it is a little odd if you haven't seen it. Anyway, they break into the temple, they slaughter the monks, they take the boy, they take him to L.A. for whatever reason, and they find, this girl, I'm not sure how she gets involved, played by Charlotte Lewis, she decides that Eddie Murphy's character is the chosen one who is destined to save this child now that he's been lost. After tangling with a motorcycle gang called the Yellow Dragons, and with a, I believe he's a demon played by Sardo, named Sardo Numspa, played by Charles Dance, who apparently has had a better career than Charlotte Lewis has. And he turns into he's obviously not looking like a demon for most of the movie, but at the end he does, break into his true form, and you see some somewhat bad and jerky, probably stop-motion animation animated demon at the end with wings. So he's like demon slash dragonish, I guess. But, you know, of course, the good guy wins in the end. Won't say too much more in case you haven't seen it and are planning on seeing it. And like I said, if you're looking for a blast from the past, this would be the one. And films similar in tone would be Big Trouble in Little China. So if you enjoyed that, you would probably enjoy this one. As I said, it was released in December 86. It was a box office success. It took in 79 million-ish, 80 million, in the U.S. alone, making it the eighth biggest film of that year. However, it was considered a disappointment by the studio compared to Murphy's previous film, Beverly Hills Cop, which did 235 million. So, you know, technically it wasn't as good, which is maybe why I never saw it. Oh yeah, of course, one of the most popular scenes from this movie that probably, if you even haven't seen the movie, you would still know the scene. They have to get this knife in order to get the child back. And so they go to Tibet and they go to some, I don't know if it's a monastery or what, and they have to talk in chant and they have to spin this spinny thing. And the girl, Charlotte Lewis, is doing most of the talking. And then the monks say no, they want Eddie Murphy's character to ask for the knife. And so he does like a rappy thing first. I want the knife. And then they say he has to ask again or something. And so then he says, I want the knife. And then he spins the thing again and says, please. It was kind of funny. It was funny-ish. I definitely did not roll around on the ground laughing out loud at this movie, but it made me smile and it was nostalgic. And so, if you are looking for a bit of a chuckle, this would be one to watch, I guess. 94 minutes long. Felt longer than that, I'll tell you. But if you have 94 minutes to spare this week, maybe you want to check it out. I'm going to rate this. You know, we haven't rated things in a long time. So, let me think. I believe our rating system was 4 cushions and an ottoman. I'm sitting on half the couch, that's what I'm gonna rate it. 2 cushions, no ottoman. 2 cushions worth for The Golden Child, starring Eddie Murphy, 1986. It is a comedy, by the way, if I hadn't mentioned that. Alrighty, anyway. Maybe you're wondering, you know, where is Eddie Murphy today? He's done more than Charlotte Lewis has, I'll say that. Because I was interested in her. I thought she was really pretty, and I thought she did a good job in that movie, and I was surprised that I hadn't seen her in more things. And, like I said, she has done more, but it's all been really B kind of stuff, and nothing very worth noting. Whereas Eddie Murphy, on the other hand, although his career has been up and down, he has done a lot of, you know, really probably fairly memorable things over the years, namely Shrek playing Donkey. He also plays the dragon Mushu in Disney's Mulan. He did the Nutty Professor films. He did Bowfinger back in the early 2000s. So yeah, you know, even though he hasn't done a ton that's been really well received, the stuff that he has done has been pretty high profile. And honestly, Donkey and Shrek totally cracks me up. I love Donkey. He's like my favorite character ever. My favorite animated character. He's just so funny. And, you know, and obviously Eddie Murphy is very good at, what's the word I'm looking for? Ad-libbing. And, you know, sometimes that work really works and sometimes it really doesn't. And I found in The Golden Child, a lot of it was not working. Whereas on the other hand, Donkey and Shrek works. So, there you go. Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there in podcast land. And we'll be looking for Kent to join us here on the couch again one of these days. In the meantime, adios from my half of the couch. Have a great week. Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.